Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22. Prithu Maharaja's meeting with the Kumaras, text 48. Maitreya Vacha Ta Atma Yoga Pataya Adi Rajena Pujita Shilam Tadiyam Sham Santa Ke Bhavan Mishatam Rinam Maitreya Vacha Ta Atma Yoga Pataya Adi Rajena Pujita Shilam Tadiyam Shamsanta Ke Bhavan Mishatam Rinam. Maitreya Vacha the great sage Maitreya continued to speak. Te, they, Atma Yoga, Pattaya, the masters of self-realization. By devotional service. Adi Rajena, by the original king. Prithu, Pujita, being worshipped. Shilam, Karata, Tadiyam, of the king. Samshams, Santa, eulogizing. K, in the sky. Abhavan, appeared. Mishatam, while observing. Nrinam, of the people. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya continued. Being thus worshipped by Maharaj Prithu, the four Kumaras, who were masters of devotional service, became very pleased. Indeed, they appeared in the sky and praised the character of the king, and everyone observed them. Purport. It is said that the demigods never touch the surface of the earth. They walk and travel in space only. Like the great sage Narada, Kumaras do not require any machine to travel in space. There are also residents of Siddhaloka who can travel in space without machines. Since they can go from one planet to another, they are called Siddhas. That is to say, they have acquired all mystic and yogic powers. Such great saintly persons who have obtained complete perfection in mystic yoga are not visible in this age on earth, because humanity is not worthy of their presence. The Kumaras, however, praise the characteristics of Maharaj Prithu and his great devotional attitude and humility. The Kumaras were greatly satisfied by King Prithu's method of worship. It was by the grace of Maharaj Prithu that the common citizens in his domain could see the Kumaras flying in outer space. Text 49. Vinyastu Doryo Mahatam Samstitya Dhyatma Shikshaya Apta Kamam Vivatmanam Mena Atman Yavastita. Translation. Amongst the great personalities, Maharaj Prithu was the chief by virtue of his fixed position in relation to spiritual enlightenment. He remained satisfied as one was achieved all success in spiritual understanding. Purport. Remaining fixed in devotional service gives one the utmost in self-satisfaction. Actually, self-satisfaction can be achieved only by pure devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to desire, he is fully satisfied with himself. Similarly, a devotee who has no desire other than to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead is as self-satisfied as the Supreme Lord. Everyone is hankering after peace of mind and self-satisfaction, but these can only be achieved by becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. King Prithu's statement in previous verses regarding his vast knowledge and perfect devotional service are justified here, for he is considered to be the best amongst all Mahatmas. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:13, Sri Krishna speaks of Mahatmas in this way. Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritim ashitya vajantya nanya manaso kyatva bhutadim avyam. O Sanaprita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. The Mahatmas are not under the clutches of the illusory energy, but under the protection of the spiritual energy. Because of this, the real Mahatma is always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Prithu Maharaj exhibited all the symptoms of a Mahatma. Therefore, he is mentioned in this verse as Duryo Mahatmam, best of the Mahatmas. Maam Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristai Bhutai, Srimate Bhaktiviranta Swaminti Namane, Namaste Sarasutun Deve, Gauravani Vicharane, Nirvishesha Shunivari, Paskyatya De Satarane. In these two verses, we learn that the Kumaras visited Prithu Maharaj because he was a Mahatma. Or as they say, birds of a feather, they flock together. That everything depends upon association. And the Nectar Devotion mentions that oftentimes the demigoddesses, they were praying for the advent of Lord Buddha because before Kali Yuga, before the advent of Lord Buddha, the demigods were coming here to the earth planet regularly because of the performance of sacrifices, and the demigoddesses were missing their husbands. But with the advent of Lord Buddha, sacrifice was stopped, and therefore the demigods no longer come to the earth anymore. Urvam gachati sattvasta madhye tishtati rajasa Jaganya guna vrittista ado gachati tamasa. Now those who are in the mode of goodness, they go upwards to the heavenly planets. Those in the mode of passion, they live on the earthly planets. And those in the mode of ignorance, they go down to the lower regions. In other words, Kali Yuga or any Yuga or any place really depends upon the quality. It is not that because we live in a big city, or because we live in the country, or because we live somewhere else, that everything's all right. Everything will depend upon the quality of work. And the best quality work is spiritual work, to be under Daivi Prakriti, to be under the spiritual energy. Satatam kirtayantamam itantas cha dridavritaha namasyantastamam bhaktya nityukta upasate. To always engage in glorifying Krishna, bowing down before him with great determination, worshiping him with great determination, bowing down before him. So to develop this service attitude towards Krishna will gradually free us from our service attitude towards this material body. Now that we're in love with this material body, we have a great service attitude towards it. Spontaneously, whatever the body is dictating, we take very seriously. But when one develops a service attitude towards Krishna, like the gopis had, then whatever Krishna desires, that's what the gopis are very enthusiastic to carry out. The difference is when we become enthusiastic to carry out the dictation of the senses and the mind, we come under Maya. And Maya means the threefold miseries. There is no question of any kind of happiness in the material world. There's only varieties of misery, sometimes more misery and sometimes less misery. When there's a little less misery, we call that happiness. But real happiness is to come under the control of the internal energy of Krishna. And here, Maharaj Parikshit was under such control, therefore he was called a Mahatma. But it's not that only Maharaj Prithu could be a Mahatma, and the rest of us were destined to be Duratmas. The Mahajans, they come in order to show us the path how also we can become Mahatmas. Everyone is supposed to become a great soul. Everyone is by constitution a great soul, but due to association with Duratmas, we become also Duratmas. And by associating with personalities like Maharaj Prithu, we can also become Mahatmas. And the process, as mentioned here, is not very difficult. It means that we have to follow in their footsteps. Mahajano yena kata sapanta. Tarko apartishta shutaya vibina esavari shera matam nabinam. Dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam. Mahajano yena kata sapanta. So Maharaj Prithu, he was convinced that Krishna is God. and that he was Krishna's servant of the servant of the servant. Either we arrive at that conclusion by studying scriptures, or we arrive at that conclusion by argument, or we arrive at that conclusion by following the footsteps of great personalities. But ultimately, the best way of understanding that conclusion is to take to the path that the Mahatmas took to. Generally, people are engaged in argument, but that argument is usually inconclusive. There are so many arguments. What's causing the war in Iraq? What's the reason why the immigrants aren't allowed in America? There are so many different debates on so many different subject matters. But they're all useless unless they're in relationship to Krishna. Because the real problem is not the immigrants or even the war in Iraq. The real problems are misconception of service to this body. Even when we're in Iraq, there's one devotee there right now. Just went back. He's going to have a Rath Yatra there on his base. His commander said he can have Partha Sarathi. I saw him. He said he has a Rath Yatra schedule. So even his Iraq, it makes no difference. The difference is the consciousness. If one is in America or in so-called a place of enjoyment, but if the consciousness is that in the mode of ignorance, then one will be suffering. So no amount of argument will reach a conclusion or definite conclusion unless one comes to the platform of understanding real knowledge, namely that we're not this body and that we're eternal servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only when one comes to that platform does the conclusion have any validity, practically speaking. And similarly, we can read so many scriptures, but unless we come to that conclusion, we're not really making any real progress. Unless what we're reading brings us to that conclusion, we're just wasting our time. And similarly, so-called great personalities, if they don't understand that conclusion, they're also not very important. Just like people may have billions and billions of dollars, but if they don't know how to utilize the money, then it's useless. If it won't help them and it won't help anyone else. If they utilize the money, and by utilizing the money, they're putting a down payment on their next frog body, then what is the value of so much money? I'm paying my way, you know, to Kumbhi Park, Kumbhi Paka. On the other hand, even if one has only a few pennies, but if it pays his way back to this Vaikuntha planets or Goloka Vrindavan, then that's actually valuable. Unfortunately, dharmasitatvam nihitam guhayam, such knowledge is confidential, because not everyone wants to hear it. Previously, when people had knowledge, some intelligence, they could value such philosophy. Now they think it's threatening their lifestyle to hear such philosophy. More or less will spoil their material life. And they don't want the material life spoiled. As a matter of fact, they want exactly the opposite. They want more and more material existence. The hog, if you offer him nice halava or nice subjects and puris, he'll get disgusted. So why are you insulting me like this? Putting this horrible smell right before my nose, my nostrils. Give me something fresh and good like stool. So he won't appreciate the well-wishing personality who comes, my dear hog, you know, wash your hooves for a second or your paws and let me give you something good to eat. So people have developed a mentality due to the association of the motives of ignorance and passion, and they're not very much inclined to hear about Krishna. So does that mean hearing about Krishna has no value? No. Does halava have value? Halava has value to a person who can appreciate the good taste of halva, but not to a hog. And why should one waste one's time giving halva to a hog? It'll spoil the halva, and the hog won't accept it anyhow. So one should save the halva for those people who are actually meritorious of eating such a nice preparation. Therefore, the demigods don't come, but as Krishna says, Utsideya me loka na karyam karmachetaham sankarasya jakartasyam upahanya ima praja. Let not the wise disrupt the minds of the ignorants who are attached to fruit of work. They should not be encouraged to refrain from work, but to engage in work with devotion. So the devotees of the Lord are even more kind than the demigods. They come in any condition and try to spread Krishna consciousness. They try, even in the modes of ignorance of passion, or as it says, swarga apavarga narakeshu apituliartha darshanaha, that those who are actually Narayana Parasarge, kutaschana bhivyate, those who are actually Narayana Parayan. So we have to become Narayana Parayan. That means we have to take shelter of the internal energy of Krishna, and then we'll experience the happiness, the ecstasy, the rasa, the taste, which everyone is actually looking for, even in the mundane activities, but that will actually give us the intelligence how to spread Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not a mechanical process, nor is the spreading of Krishna consciousness mechanical. It depends upon our absorption in the service attitude towards Krishna. The more we develop that service attitude of trying to utilize our energies in Krishna's service, the more we become factually under the internal energy of Krishna, then the more we become powerful to spread Krishna consciousness. That power is not being able to lift weights or stand in a karate stance or press buttons to kill millions of people. That power is the power to spread love of Krishna, the pleasure, the happiness that comes from loving Krishna. That's much more powerful than anything else. When people used to ask Prabhupada about his mystic power, because everyone's supposed to have mystic power, at least the great sadhus are supposed to have mystic power. So Prabhupada would point out his disciples and said, this is my mystic power. That these persons, they were addicted to all kinds of sinful activities, but they took to the process of Krishna consciousness, and now they have become detached from all kinds of sense gratification, and now they're mad after God, after Krishna. So this is my mystic power. Unfortunately, generally people don't like that mystic power. When Prabhupada was in a train one time, then some Indian gentleman wanted to come in and get ashabad from Prabhupada. So the disciples of Prabhupada didn't let them into the car, knowing that they're simply going to waste Prabhupada's time. But somehow or another, they caught Srila Prabhupada's eye, and Prabhupada said, all right, come in. So these gentlemen came in, and Prabhupada said, very nice, how are you? How can I help you? So they said, we simply want your blessings, Swamiji. Please give us your blessings. So Prabhupada said, all right, what kind of blessings do you want? So they were quite surprised. Usually people don't ask what kind of blessing. They just, the sadhu simply goes, blessings. But this time, Prabhupada had asked, and they said, well, Swamiji, I have this daughter. It's very hard getting her married. Please give me your blessings so we can marry her off. Another one said, well, I have this water on this toe. The doctors can't get it off. It keeps on coming back. Please give me your blessings. So Prabhupada said, I don't know if I can give you those blessings, but he pointed to his sannyas disciples in saffron and said, this is my blessings. So they looked at the sannyasis and they put their hands and said, Swamiji, we're in a hurry, I'm sorry. Maybe you can come back later and get your blessings. So generally people are not interested in that kind of blessings. Become free from this material entanglement, to become absorbed in the spiritual energy and go back to the spiritual world and live there. Because people have no idea either what the spiritual energy is What to speak of the spiritual world? But by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a person with no spiritual knowledge, even a person who's not even interested in spiritual knowledge, if the devotees chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And, of course, there's a quality to the chanting. It's not that we can go out and chant Hare Krishna, and it's all the same. If we're absorbed in Krishna consciousness, if we're actually remembering Krishna, feeling Krishna's presence, absorbed in the ecstasy of remembering Krishna, then the atmosphere becomes spiritualized. Maharaj Vidura, when he came back after pilgrimage, he was praised by Maharaj Yudhisthira when he said, Bhavan vidas bhagavatas tirta bhutak svayam vibho tirta tirtani kurvanti swantak stena kathabritaha. That saints like yourself, they're verily holy places personified. Because wherever you go, you turn that place into a place of pilgrimage because you carry the Supreme Lord within your heart. That's our power, that's the weapon we have to change the atmosphere of Kali Yuga. As most of us can notice, it is not a very nice time in the universe, at least in this, especially this part of the universe. And people have no idea how to change things. Even the greatest philanthropist, humanitarian, welfare worker, they have no idea what to change things. They want people to be nice. They want people to be friendly. They want people to love each other. But they're not doing it. The people who are lusty, the people who are greedy, the people who are envious, the people who are mad, these are the people who are dominating Kali Yuga. Democracy hasn't worked to change the tide of the horrors that even this country is perpetuating on other countries because of greed and lust and anger. So the only solution is to take away lust, anger, and greed. As long as people are engaged in sinful activities, there won't be any change for the better. It must be for the worse. We can't expect people are going to eat more meat, have more illicit sex, take more intoxication, gamble more, and think somehow or another by the vote of such animalistic type of people, they're going to elect a saintly personality. No, only when people's hearts become purified by the ecstasy emanating from the hearts of the devotees, from their inspiration that they're giving other people, is there any possibility that this society, the current direction in this society, and all in this current age of Kali on this planet, can be changed. It is not possible in any other way, except through the chanting of Hare Krishna, the spreading of the Sankirtan movement by devotees who are absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Of course, we're not about to become completely immersed in Krishna consciousness all of a sudden. It's not that we're going to walk out of here and suddenly we're going to remember Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes 24 hours a day, even in our sleep. But by practice, we can make a little advancement at a time. Remember Krishna a little bit more often every day. Become a little bit more detached from sense gratification. Become a little bit more aware of actually what's going on in this universe. Surrender a little bit more activities in the service of Krishna. And that will make a difference. That's the only way any difference is going to be made. There's no other solution to make our own lives productive or anyone else's life productive. People may pray for the welfare of the current society, but the actual prayer is to engage in Krishna's service, not to engage God in trying to make things nicer so people can engage in nicer sense gratification. So they can pray that they can eat their dead animal with a nice napkin rather than without it. Such a prayer is useless. No, they should pray. We should pray to Krishna that somehow or another we can affect people's hearts so that gradually, at least, they give up their sinful activities, come to the platform of understanding the value of Krishna consciousness by actually experiencing it directly through the mercy of the spreading of the holy name. So, we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Okay.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. Wonderful class. So that last statement you made, does that mean we should go out on Hari Nam, Sankirtan regularly, like every day, as much as we can, to show people how blissful we can be in Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, that's nice. And we should also be blissful. We should go on Hari Nam and concentrate on the chanting of the holy names with attention and devotion. Not we should go out there and see, here I am, I'm saving you all out here, just look at me. I'm the savior. If only my mother could be here, she'd appreciate it. No, we have to go out there with attention and love, chant the holy names, and be in ecstasy. And that if Krishna is there, he'll save the people. He'll save us, and he'll save the other people there. So Harinam Sankirtan is, or the distribution of transcendental literature or prasadam, if it's done in a transcendental mood, in Krishna consciousness, then that will save people. It will save us, first of all. Associate becoming Krishna conscious. It's not that Krishna consciousness is some other consciousness, just a normal consciousness. They're remembering, you know, the movies that they're watching. We're remembering Krishna. It's more or less the same thing. No, one is transcendental, is ecstatic, is the nature of spiritual energy. The other is the nature of maya, of unconsciousness, of suffering. So if we're actually Krishna conscious, then we can help ourselves and others. But it's more than just going out and chanting Hare Krishna and smiling. We actually have to be really Krishna conscious.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Gaur.